The way we use land in the Great Lakes region is changing. This is the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams. More than 7,000 square miles of land in the Great Lakes region changed in some way from 1996 to 2010. That's roughly equal to the surface area of Lake Ontario. That's according to a new report from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Researchers at NOAA used satellite maps to study our cities, forests, and wetlands. Not surprisingly, they found development happened around our big cities, Chicago, Detroit, Grand Rapids, and Milwaukee. Nate Harold is with NOAA's Office for Coastal Management. He says they also found a net loss of forest land in the region.
What we end up typically seeing with forest is there's a lot of change, but it doesn't necessarily equate to a loss in forest land.
So in other words, he says a lot of these areas are managed for timber harvest, and they eventually grow back. This is the Environment Report. Spring is finally here, and that means it's also time for Nest Watch. It's a citizen science project. Researchers at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology want your help keeping an eye on nesting birds. Robin Bailey is the project leader for Nest Watch, and she's here to talk more about it with me. So, Robin, anybody can get involved, although you make a point of saying on your website that kids should always have an adult around to supervise them. How do you find out what's going on in a nest without bothering the birds?
So anytime you're visiting a nest, whether it's a nest box, like a birdhouse, or an open cup nest, like a robin or a blue jay or something like that, you want to be careful that as you're approaching the nest, you make a little bit of noise, whether you're just, humming to yourself or knocking gently on the side of the nest box. And that's going to give the bird a chance to leave the nest so you're not startling her off by, rapidly approaching and spooking her. But, you quickly would look at the nest. Don't touch anything. Nestlings and eggs are very, very fragile, so we don't ever touch them. And once you've got a quick count of the eggs or chicks, then you want to leave by a different path. You don't want to leave a scent trail. So, a person just meandering through a park or a backyard is going to leave a scent trail, but what you don't want to do is leave a dead-end trail directly to a nest.
So your lab has been monitoring nesting birds for 50 years now. What have you found out in all that time?
With the last 50 years of data, we've learned a tremendous amount about the nesting ecology of our North American birds, as well as phenology patterns. And phenology is just the science of timing, so when things occur, like when do birds nest, when do the first eggs hatch, and that kind of information. And so NestWatch has been relied upon or used in more than 130 scientific studies, and that ranges from everything from when and where and how many eggs are laid by different species in different parts of their range to how can we minimize the effects of practices that might impact birds, like logging or agriculture or other land use practices. And we've even noticed that there are some large-scale trends, especially with the timing. So we've noticed that tree swallows and eastern bluebirds in particular are starting to nest earlier as spring temperatures have risen. So we're also on the lookout for additional trends there that might be happening.
Robin Bailey is a project leader for NestWatch. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You can find out more about NestWatch and how to get certified to become part of the project on our website, michiganradio.org. That's the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams.